Hi everyone, and welcome to this chat about higher photography. I'm Rudy, and I'm joined by Sarah Matthews, and so welcome. And across these three episodes, we're really just wanting to share our experiences of teaching, marking, and I guess what we've seen in higher photography over a number of years. We'll be talking about what we've seen work well, both with our own students and, you know, what we've seen nationally as well. Some of the common issues that we've experienced, and maybe try and give you a few practical ideas that might help your students as much as they've helped our own as well. Our hope is that you'll come away with some reassurances, maybe a couple of new ideas, and something useful that you can hopefully take back into your own classroom as well. So I want to just kind of, I suppose, get started asking a couple of questions of you, Sarah. When did you first get involved with teaching and obviously marking higher photography?
Oh gosh, I first started teaching higher photography, I think, in 2005. I had six wonderful pupils who just wanted to give it a whirl. So six of us in the dark room, and we just had a go and absolutely loved it. I'm photography trained, so being able to kind of pass that on in teaching, I think, is quite special. I think I joined the marking team around about 2009. Seeing the course grow over the years has just been amazing.
Yes, anyway. I guess that maybe takes me on to next question. I then got involved with SQA in 2013, and I very much, it was a quality assurance side of things. And then from there, I started as a senior team leader for the verification side of things. And then I started marking that same year. And that maybe kind of takes me on to that next question. When you started, there was maybe a couple of hundred students. Our entries have kind of doubled since 2011, and we're now kind of 3,000 thereabouts. What is it about higher photography that pupils are wanting to study this course?
Oh, gosh, I mean, I love photography, but I could talk about it for hours. But I think what I see, especially as pupils, you know, SQA candidates, but as a teacher, pupils, you see them, you know, their world's changing. They're not in the same world that we were in. Yeah. And I think that visual communication, that aesthetic, that world that they're living in, they want to have some ownership over it. And I think the other thing I love about it, and, you know, we teach art and we teach all the other sort of creative subjects, but in photography, it's instant. So they're kind of able to kind of take that learning. They're able to then go and pick up something which is pretty immediately responsive and have a go at it. They're then able to immediately reflect and go, well, that worked, or that didn't work, so what can I do?
I would agree. I think there's two things that probably stand out for me. Number one is that, you know, yes, there's a course specification, and there's mandatory things that you want to cover as a teacher when you're delivering the course: skills, knowledge, understanding. But as a teacher, I think part of my enjoyment came from it, because I could almost structure the learning however worked for me and my students. Yeah. And I think it's the same for the students as well. They are able to take what you teach them and make a really personal, you know, project at the end of it that essentially encapsulates all their learning and the understanding that's taken place. But I think probably more than that, you know, particularly your younger generations are brought up with visual imagery around them, you know, kind of bombarded on social media, YouTube, whatever. And I think, you know, that they're maybe much more open to different ideas, techniques, themes, genres. And again, I think it comes back to what you said. It's the immediacy of some of the outcomes that they're able to produce. And that kind of influence of what they're seeing round about them, I think, is absolutely crucial to the growth of this course over the last 10, 12 years. So what is it that you've been delivering this a long time, and been involved at a national level for a long time as well? You're now deputy principal assessor. You see a lot of work in your own school and through SQA as well. What is it that still stands out to you every year? I have my own thoughts on it, but I'm interested what stands out.
I love it when you pick up a folio, a project, and you can see that that candidate started off with a really sort of an idea, and I, a promise of something, but then they get their teeth into it, and you can see that they just take ownership. That enjoyment that comes through, when they've got that a little bit of freedom to kind of read their voice, to hear their own ideas, and you can see, when you see when they just get it, and they get it because they're invested in, like you said earlier on about that, having autonomy over it, having a connection. And what I love about it is when you sit in front of in front of a bank of work, and you pick up one folio after the other, and all you can see is those kids shining. And then you get it when you get the final and you lay them out, and you're looking at them and you're like, my God, this kid has done this. They've actually taken that learning from its first point of picking up a camera to producing something which is their best. And that to me is the reward. What
And
about you then?
I think it's that year on year, I still get surprised. I think, wow, I've never seen that before. Yeah, that's a really unique way of doing it. I've seen thousands of folios over the years. I've never seen it done this way, or I've never seen it with this kind of slant on it, or presented in this way. And for me, I think that's one of the really good things about how this course has evolved, is that it does allow for so much personal kind of personalization, choice, whether that be in terms of how pupils present their work, or the themes that they come up with, the techniques that they try. And it's that constant reinvention that I just every year I go to Central Market and I think, wow, that's so good. But I guess what I want to kind of think about now is, from our experience, what we've seen that works well. I think for me, one of the things is now when you look at projects at Central Marking, in the question paper as well, when
Oh, God,
we're marking the question paper, just that real awareness of meaningful photographic terminology, whether they're talking about apertures, whether they're talking about shutter speed, if they're talking about different genres. I see a real shift in the last 10 years in terms of pupil and, from an SQA side, candidate understanding of that terminology and how they're able to then discuss it, to manipulate camera settings and talk about the kind of outcomes.
We're definitely, and I've got my thoughts about it, but what do you think they're doing in centres which we can use as advice for anyone listening to this?
I think what we see more of nationally is sharing of good practice, but I think it's just that sharing of good practice between teachers, not even just in the region. I think one of the great things is growth of things like teams and things like that, where staff are reaching out. I see that colleagues across the country aren't afraid to reach out and say, I need a bit of help with this. And then on the flip side, you've got such a wealth of experience there with people saying, I can help you with that.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's so important.
What about you? What have you seen that's kind of, I guess, like good practice? What's working well for you?
Across Scotland, I agree with you. I think it's the people working together. I think in my own centre, what's worked for me recently is I completely changed back to how I kind of used to do things. But building in really low risk experiences for the pupils, so that it's like really high reward. So it's just starting
Yeah.
off with like taking photos of. I think one of my first sort of lessons is they come in and they take a photo of like in the alphabet, and they have to just go find
Yeah, love
things that
that.
start. Well, they have to find things that start with a letter of the alphabet. So they might go find an apple or a balloon
Yeah.
or something like that.
I think it's
Yeah.
about creativity as well, you know, in
Yeah.
terms of how they see things and how they're then able to, I don't know, shift their position, or you know, kind of step further back, zoom in, or
Yeah.
whatever it is, to try and capture that
Yeah.
letter. And I think that's a really, it's like a really good and fun activity. But also as a teacher, it gives you a bit of a flavor really early on in terms of what you're working with, you know, in terms of the
Yeah.
students that you've got. Because, and also, I think the thing I like about that is, you know, as a the alphabet task, it's quite extended. You know, you've got all the letters of the alphabet,
Yeah.
and you know, are they going to burn out too soon, or are they
Yeah.
going to sustain it right through? And again, that tells you so much.
Then what we do is as we go through, start doing like we do like a colour photo shoot, so they all get a different colour. And that's
Yeah.
when you can kind of like start to pick. So depending on the child's interests and the child's ability. So I think we can like differentiate these challenges as well. But at this point, I'm not doing anything to do with technical anything. It's just go take photos. Then I start building in like composition. So then we make like a little still life of their colour. And then like they just do that against a wall with a bit of coloured paper on it. And then I'll go, oh, you see these light things that we've got? And all of a sudden you start to build these little connections, these little networks, and you start. So I start just with that creative composition, and then I bring in lighting. When they're confident, then we go on and we kind of like go and do like photographing around and about in different places. So we're looking at different challenges that might bring, which is not safe and in the studio at this point. And then lastly, we kind of move on to doing people. And that's where you can kind of then start doing things like your shutter speeds and your apertures and your focal lengths and bits like that, because they kind of have built those confidences. So I think.
I think for me, it's kind of along those lines. What I find works really well in the classroom is, you know, we have these two components to the course. We've got question paper and we've got a project.
Yeah.
And for me, it's about, you know, how do you make the question paper as engaging as possible to deliver? We know that a lot of our pupils pick our subjects. They want to be out there taking photographs. And for me, quite early on, it's about trying to, you know, so I might do a workshop on aperture, and then we look at, you know, effect of the aperture, you know, using a large aperture, a small aperture, you know, we see the impact that it has.
Yeah.
But then immediately I then start to tie that into the question paper. So I have a bank of really simple questions, I guess kind of multiple choice style
Yep.
questions, you know, that gets them at an early stage to try and make that connection, because I think that's how we see good progress with question paper, is when you can link it to what they're
Yeah.
doing with the camera.
And I think you're right, it's linking it so that if it's linked, they can physically reinforce it. So they can be like, oh, I remember actually when I took that photo, if I changed the aperture setting, I had a narrower depth of field. That totally makes sense to me. So I think that's it. And
So I guess if so there's so and that's not everything, and we'll talk about, you know, in the next two episodes, you know, more about what we're seeing that's working well across the project and the question paper. But I guess just generally, what do you find kind of that the challenges are across higher photography?
I think as soon as you start, you have to know your pupils. Those learning conversations are so important. You know, when they're taking those initial shoots, you need to give them the feedback.
I think, you know, I'll just add to that, because one of the biggest challenges, you have a pupil that comes to you and says, I want to do astrophotography, I want to photograph the night sky. And you say, great, go and kind of plan that out and tell me what that looks like. You as a teacher know that, you know, I don't know, they've only get their mobile phone to photograph with, or you know that we don't have a kind of a good enough camera, or that may just be a bit too much of a challenge for that particular, the level that, of that student. And it's about trying to not squash their aspirations of what they want to do, but it's about trying to make sure that what they do choose to do is realistic. And I think sometimes, you know, it's about having to have that conversation where you're negotiating that brief, but doing it in such a way that, you know, it's not shutting them down, but equally you're not setting them up for failure by letting them do something that you know that they're not actually going to be able to achieve. And I think that's where knowing your students, their ability and the resources that you've got is really important.
And I think that comes through when you don't start the project too early. So, you know, you have to kind of allow these pupils to show you what they shine at, and giving them loads of different things, and then going, we're now ready. And that's, I spend like November to December just playing with ideas and getting them to have a little mini go at something, do a little bit of research.
I think one of the biggest challenges I think I find as a teacher is that kind of reasonable assistance as well. You know, so you know that you as a teacher and as per the kind of qualification specification, you are allowed to negotiate that brief with the student. And we'll talk, as I said, we'll talk more about this later, but for me it's about sometimes as a teacher you're like, yep, I've seen this project before, I know how this is going to go. And you can negotiate the brief, absolutely. But it's about, you know, as the student is working, they've almost got to try and kind of find their own way as well, you know, trial and error, because that's the learning process that they're going to evidence through their work. And sometimes a challenge I know I've got is just having that ability to, even though I might know how this photo shoot's going to go, is having that confidence to step back and say, but I know they're going to identify, you know, they'll do it, it's not going to work, but what's the learning opportunity that's there?
Well, that's it. And I think that's where you can build in earlier shoot reviews, shoot plans. You know, you can get them to, like, you know, if they've got a little mini idea that they want to go and photograph the cars in the staff car park using filters, you know, to get rid of like glare and polarization and, you know, all that stuff when you're teaching them about properties of light. And I think getting them to do those little, like I say, low risk, high reward little activities, it builds up, but it educates us in terms of, like, you know, when you are setting those and you're sitting with them and they come to you with all their ideas for their project and you go, yeah, but you were really good at this. And
I think you think about it from a student's perspective, you know, you've got your class of 20 pupils sitting there and you introduce the project to them. It's so daunting. It's such piece of work. You know, how are they meant to meaningfully make their way through that, you know, without giving them those exposure to those different skills that they're going to need? And I think, you know, those little mini projects, as you said, low risk, high reward, that teach them how to research, how to plan, how to write a proposal, how to evaluate something. And and then, you know, the way that I see it, then by the time they come to do the project, they've got all the little skills that they need, and it's about pulling it together. I set an activity where I say, at the end of this assignment, you're going to have to produce a series of photographs. they're going to have to be printed. You can choose the theme, you can choose, you know, whatever. So if you think about each of the final photographs that they've got, I'll always say to them, I want you to try and kind of talk me through what's it going to look like at the end. Let's say you want to photograph cars, okay? Yeah. What are each of your final photographs going to look like? And have one or two in reserve just in case something doesn't work out. Yeah. So then when they come to pitch to me and they're struggling at three and they've just got, well, I'm going to go to the showroom and I'm going to photograph the car and my dad's car in the drive, and I'm going to photograph it, you know, the same car down, oh, and then I've got lost. So then it's about how do we have that kind of meaningful conversation for them to either look at other options, how they can open the project up a bit, or do they need to do something? Do they need to do something else? I see that working, you know, really well, because it's they're still having control over it, but I'm able to use that kind of opportunity to negotiate and really get them to think about, you know, is this a viable thing for you to do? Because by that point, as you say, you know them, you know what they've been able to prove in the work that they've done up to that point. And I think, you know, another way of kind of trying to embed that good practice as a teacher is about trying to kind of keep up to date. And I guess, you know, it's about looking at, you know, SQA publish a lot of understanding standards, resources for question paper, for project, even things like the videos that we published a couple of years back. You know, I guess this chat that we're having now will also factor into that, and it's about, you're trying to kind of see what's out there, looking at the projects or how, you know, if SQA have chosen to exemplify these question papers and there's commentaries with them, you know, it's about trying to kind of dissect and understand how they've got the marks that they've got by reading the commentaries, and then thinking, right, how can I apply that knowledge that I've acquired in the classroom? And it doesn't matter how much experience you've got. That's, I still do that, you know, I still get the understanding standards projects out. I look at them, look at the commentaries, and in the classroom, it's actually a really good exercise with the students as well, you know, to kind of almost get them to kind of, you know, because in the course specification, there's the marking instructions there. I used to do that as a brief exercise, you know, with a project. Look at this. Where do you think that sits within the marked ranges?
I think there are kind of like a couple of days when you really look forward to it, and one of them is if understanding standards, you know, new stuff going out, and you just kind of like, it's a wealth of that opportunity to be like, what are other people doing, you know, like that's a great day when those things get published. Obviously, you know, the principal assessor report that comes out, very well written, such an amazing amount of information in that.
So much good practice goes on, and you know, we want to make sure that, you know, certainly when I'm writing that report, you know, is trying to hope that people reading it take a little bit of confidence away that I've been doing that. I think there's so much kind of great ideas and things that we've seen and I guess put in their own practice as well. And say we'll use the next two episodes to kind of dive into things in a bit more detail. So I think we're going to stop this episode here. You know, thanks everyone for listening, and we hope you join us in our next episode.